Hello, flyers. Ready for takeoff? I'd like to encourage you to fly by faith and not by sight. Why fly and not live or walk or whatever your Bible translation says? Because to fly is to rise above our limited view and see through God's eyes. To fly is to be free. I'm excited to introduce you to author S.D. Howard, also known as Stephen. Listeners, you can go ahead and pull out your phones and go to www.sdhowardauthor.com and check out Stephen's young adult fantasy book called The City of Snow and Stars. It's a beautiful title. Amazing cover, too. And at the time of this episode, it's also going to be made into a special illustrated edition. I hope that's still true because I am super excited about that. So when I first started reading The City of Snow and Stars, my first thought was, dang, this guy's a gifted writer. And even just the question of why does God let bad things happen? It's such an important topic, especially with the young adult fiction. It's not something we see a lot, and I think that it's so important to actually bring that to our attention. And even cooler is that the main character's gift is to duplicate herself in her mind, which you'd think, at least my thought was that it'd be a safe place for a victim of abuse to hide, yet it causes her to feel as if she's losing a part of her soul, which is super interesting. And I promise I didn't give anything away because that's all on the back cover. So yeah, you'll have to read it yourself. But Stephen, welcome to Fly By Faith.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me here. I'm super excited to talk with you about it. I'm so glad that you've enjoyed the book thus far. And yes, I can say the pre-order campaign for the illustrated edition was fully funded on Wednesday. So that will be moving forward and will be published in December 2021.
Great. That's really good news. And what an amazing opportunity to actually see it come to life in a different way, too. I think that readers will really enjoy that visual aspect. So, Stephen, go ahead and tell our listeners about yourself.
Yeah. So I have been writing for 16 years now. I started when I was 16, used to hate writing beforehand, and then did a poem all about a sword being forged from the sword's perspective. And it's my favorite poem that I don't know where it is anymore. Through multiple moves and over, you know, almost two decades, it's lost to the sands of time, sadly. I will cherish it. No one else will get to enjoy it. But I had been working on my own kind of fan fiction. I started off writing fan fiction, Lord of the Rings meets Narnia crossover, and quickly realizing I didn't want to get sued for, you know, plagiarism and copyright infringement, I decided to start on my own book. And I worked on that trilogy for, you know, close to 10 years, and then just hit a roadblock with it. I hated writing. I was just like, forget it. I'm done. I'm going to go back to what I used to do, which was fan fiction. I'm going to practice my craft more and test it out on my unsuspecting victims, also known as my readers. And through kind of testing it over the next like 2 years or so, I figured out, I was like, okay, pacing, plot twists, characters that are relatable. Like that's where my go-to is. And my audience was YA, which was kind of a surprise to me. And you know, my heart has been for teens since I was a teenager. And so it's been really exciting to be able to write YA and tackle some of these harder topics that I address in my book. Because as someone who went through a lot of the stuff that I talk about in there, to be able to reach out to the students and the teens who are going through hard things and being like, well, why does God let bad things happen? I don't have an umbrella answer for that because there isn't one, but I can share my struggles and my journey into what the answer God gave me was.
Yeah, that's so excellent. And I just love how you went on this journey even of, yes, you wanted to write all of these things, but then you kind of stopped and developed your craft. That is something that I think a lot of authors could use, even anybody listening who writes, that's also wisdom right there. Sometimes we need to stop, right, and take the time to develop things before we can understand how to fully do something. And that's, I mean, that's patience, that's time, and but there's a lot of wisdom in that. So that's great too. And I love how you say that you really, your heart for teens started really even as a teen yourself, in a way that what you went through, there was, it's almost like God was planting that purpose in that you could use what you went through for other people. And that's a beautiful thing. So I think you kind of talked a little bit about the, about why you write, but is there anything more that you want to add, or even specifically why you decided to write about something that was, you know, kind of personal for you?
Yeah. So the interesting part goes back to, I think I was 17, and I was at a teen camp, and my youth pastor came up and he was just like, you know what? I feel like God is saying that, youth ministry is in the future for you and that you're going to be working with teens. And so I assumed that meant that I was going to be working at a youth group or, you know, doing stuff like that. And I volunteered at youth groups and had a ton of fun with it. I wasn't expecting that the books that I was going to write were going to be what that ministry actually turned into. And, you know, the reasons that I started tackling, you know, abuse, human trafficking, and that question of why does God let things happen in this book was because that's what I was going through. You know, I sat down and I was like, you know what? I have all of this trauma that I don't know how to process. I don't know how to deal with. Doesn't make any sense to me. God, why did you let this happen? So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to write a story. I'm just going to pour all of my trauma into a character, and I'm just going to ask God to show me what that looks like. You know, because writing is very therapeutic for me. You know, I have a journal. You know, I write my prayers in it. I write my Sunday notes in it. But yeah, that sense of just like, I want to explore these questions with God, because they are hard questions that a lot of people have, but they don't ask. They're too afraid to ask, either from judgment, condemnation, shame, which is probably the biggest one. Mm-hmm. So that's really why I wanted to tackle these things. And I've been asked, they're like, so why did you write a female character? I'm like, because that's who showed up. Like, I didn't plan out any of this book. I pantsed the entire first draft. I had no plot, no characters, no outline. I just sat down and started writing what happened. And Trinia was the first character to pop up. And she's the one who, you know, really deals with a lot of the things that I dealt with when it came to the abuse side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And those of you who don't know, you use the term pants. And that's kind of the term of fly by the seat of your pants when you're writing something. And some authors do that. I also tend to do that. And there's others who tend to be on the side of plotting before they write. So just so you know that, if you didn't know that word before, that's something new for you. But yeah, that's so encouraging. So, I want to know too, what's one important message that God's put on your heart? And it can be even just lately, or it can be something that maybe it's even a theme for your life that God's put on your heart for what you're doing. How do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I would say, two come to mind, and both are summed up in quotes from the book. The first one is, everyone is a little broken. Everybody, no matter how put together they look, they are broken on the inside. That's sin nature. That's what we have to deal with. And everybody's got pains. Everybody's got hurts. And we live our life through the lens of those things if we don't begin the process of healing. The second one is one that I stole from my best friend for the book, which is, there is no such thing as coincidence when you serve a sovereign God. Mm. You know, one of the things that I struggled with was, God, why did you let this sexual abuse take place in my life as a child? And he very clearly answered, I could have stopped all of it because I'm God, but I allowed it to happen. And it was kind of like a film, like the old film from back in the day in cameras. And it was like all the bad things, and he flipped it over. And then it was all of the lives that my story has touched since I started dealing with this. And a lot of them were teens on Wattpad, which is basically a giant nerddom for authors. And, you know, when I was sharing my trauma, they would reach out to me and be like, I'm going through this right now. What do I do? Or this has happened to me. How do you move on? And it was in that moment that I realized that God can bring beauty from trauma, bring beauty from pain. He's a redeemer. So that means he can redeem anything and anyone. And it was in that moment that I was like, you know what? I would choose actively, if given the choice, to go back and go through all of it again for those teens and for the people that I've talked to. Because in those moments, when we are able to share our testimony, our story, there's only two things that overcome evil: the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. And so being able to share with those people and be like, hey, guess what? There's hope. You can still hurt. You can still be dealing with it, but there's hope.
I love that too. That's just, you said it so well, but I'm thinking of even just how many teens are on things like Wattpad, and almost there's this opportunity to vent more and to have an outlet of creativity, and there's a place for that. And there's more blogs, there's YouTube videos, there's all these different ways of expressing, TikTok too, expressing what people are going through. And to have almost that, maybe even, I don't know if I want to say an answer, but just that hope that you say, that hope message in the midst of, what do I do when I'm trying to sort all this out? What do I do when I am scrambling to have someone read it or hear it and recognize the pain, but also have just that hope, like you said, that hope message. And it is in Jesus. I love that. So how can I be praying for you and your writing, and also our listeners too? How can they join in that prayer?
Yeah. So, you know, writing about these topics are difficult. They're not tackled a lot in Christian fiction specifically. And I want to kind of change that narrative in large part. It's really that I stay out of God's way when I'm writing. I tend to get over ambitious and be like, I can do it. And God made it abundantly clear going through the first book that it was him. Mm-hmm. It was him writing. It was his story. Right. It was my experiences that informed it, but his message. I mean, I've had hardcore pagans and atheists be like, this was awesome.
Wow.
And that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Like, because all the parts that they mention, 100% God. Huh. not anywhere near what I was planning on doing. And so that I keep that same level of focus, yeah, and right view of myself within the writing process, you know, as I'm going through and writing book two, you know, is to rely on his creativity and what his message is. It's already changed so much from what I initially wanted it to be or thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's so much better tackling the subjects that I'm going to be tackling in book two, you know, such as doubt. Is it okay to doubt God? A deeper dive on human trafficking and the concept of the followers of Christ are beautifully broken. They're not perfect, you know? And so those are big concepts to tackle that are beyond my capability to do so. So it's really just making sure that I'm relying on him for that inspiration.
I love the term you used, beautifully broken. And I think that even just as you're talking, I'm thinking about how that's what I desire. And I think many of the listeners would desire too, is that place of just being beautifully broken before God, and that's okay. It's okay to be a mess sometimes. It's okay to feel like you've fallen apart and you're in pieces, knowing that Jesus is the one who makes us whole, right? And he's the one who is able to pick up those pieces and mend them together. And I just think that we can appreciate that process as a beautiful thing, like you were saying. And I think that is something that I would desire too in everything that I do in writing, and I think a lot of listeners too. And how can we be in that place where we're saying, God, I'm depending on you, and what I speak and do and write and how I work, let it point to you, right? And I think that God's story is going to be in that. There's going to be a lot of beautiful stories if everyone's depending on God and how he wants to lead us. So that's great. So I am going to share a verse with you, Stephen, and then pray for you. And after I'm done praying, you can pray too. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. So listen in. Hebrews 11, 9 through 10. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. He was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Stephen, I'm sure there's been many times where you felt like a foreigner in this world, you know, just that you've been transparent about your past, about your trauma, and it seems, you know, from my perspective, it seems that much of your life was like being a foreigner living somewhere that's not your home or your ideal picture of how a home should be. But I'm so thankful that Jesus has called you to a different land, and that place that it's not perfect, like you were saying, there's still moments of being beautifully broken, but it looks more and more like a city built by God. Mm-hmm. So let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for calling Stephen by name and claiming him as yours. And as he dedicates his life and his family and his ministries to you, I pray that he would see great treasures from you. Even that time that he's talking about of spending with you and leaning into you, what you want to speak to him, how you want to use him writing. I pray that those times he would catch glimpses of your goodness and moments of heaven on earth. Your kingdom on earth. I pray that his fiction would change the lives of teens who struggle with abuse. I pray for healing from his books. And I pray too, Lord, for the teens who are listening to this right now who are suffering from abuse, or maybe even something that's really difficult for them right now to face, whether it's physical or emotional or even spiritual, that you would bring them to safety, that you would restore the millions of pieces in them that someone decided they had a right to steal and crush. Take their hearts, God, and make them whole. Take back their bodies and restore them. And listeners, if you're struggling with abuse, I just want to say that Jesus says to you, I love you and I'll never leave you. And there's hope for your life. Your life is precious and it's not finished. Give teens hope, God. We can trust you for that. We can trust in you. Thank you, God. Amen.
I just want to speak directly to you, the listener, wherever you are. If you've been going through anything similar to what we have talked about today, I want you to know that you are seen and you are not alone and you are heard. And I know that it can be so, so hard to suffer in silence, to bear the weight of shame, thinking that you did something wrong or that is your fault. The consequences of the actions lay with those who have hurt you. And there will come a day when you will have justice. just as I will. Forgiveness is not easy, but it is what Christ has called us to do. And so my encouragement to you would be to seek God, because there is nothing that happens outside of his will for our lives, and he will allow things that are incredibly difficult, and we don't get the answer sometimes as to the why. But my why is you. The reason that I have gone through the things that I have gone through was to be able to be here in this moment, to be able to tell you that God loves you and he sees you. And you are not alone in your shame and your suffering and in the pain and the hurt. Reach out, talk to people, get healing, talk to a counselor. You have immense value.
Yeah.
And you are a son and daughter of a most high king who is good. And he will use your story, if you let him, to bring about hope and restoration in other people's lives when the time comes, just like I'm able to do here with you. And if you allow him, he will give you the most beautiful ending to your story.
Amen. Thank you so much, Stephen. And if you listeners feel like this prayer was for you, don't hesitate to just reach out to me. You can contact me through my website. And then how can any listeners reach out to you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm basically everywhere on the internet.
Good.
So, I mean, you can connect with me on Facebook, on Instagram. You can send me an email at sdhoward@theeditingbard.com. You can just send me a direct email. I'm always happy to talk with anybody.
Great. And I can put those links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Stephen, for joining me on Fly By Faith. It's been a pleasure just to hear your heart and to have you even pray with me.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on here. It's been awesome.